My name's George Ann Crawford. I have lived in Aiken, South Carolina for about 30 years, originally from Philadelphia. I'm a Philadelphia girl. I couldn't be melted and poured back in the Northeast anymore. It's just too much traffic, too much congestion. I'm a Southern girl now. And we never go to the market without our makeup on. Anyway, so I love living in the South. A few people in here know me. Debbie knows me really well. And these Patty and Debbie, they're going to know me really well. And my testimony goes like this. I came down here with my husband, Keith. He's a blacksmith, and we're both involved with horses. I just ride. He puts shoes on them. It's a marriage made in heaven. We're so different. It's pretty amazing, a balancing act. I have been involved with worship for God since I first got saved, worship and prayer from the very, very beginning. And wanted to see a place where God could move in worship. I mean, that's where we love him, is worship. It's our expression of our hearts to him. So, from the very beginning, I'm like, God, don't they understand? I come from a worshiping church. Where is it? Well, I am seeing in this region the depth of worship like I've never seen before. And people are just lovesick for God. Worship. Worship is the key. So, I was saved in 1981. My history was not very godly. But I was always seeking spiritual things, and I knew that God was real, and so many times that he'd intervened in my life. But until a Jewish friend of mine got saved, I just thought, you know, the Jesus stuff is nice. Why are Christians so nice? They're so nice, but they're no fun. My Jewish friend got saved, and I found out through my gay boss. I was sitting in his house with a gin and tonic in my hand. And he said, Loretta didn't want to come out on the beach in Portugal when we were on business. She wanted to stay in a room and read Revelations. And I just sat there and I went, oh, God, it's real. He's real. And I just turned to my boss and I said, Norman, don't worry. She knows exactly what she's doing. And I went home and started reading my Bible. And by the time she got back, I was like, let's have lunch. I want to know what happened to you. And she shared her testimony. She had one of those extreme testimonies. God audibly spoke to her. And she started going to Messianic meetings. And I knew I couldn't handle regular church. I just couldn't do the black robe thing and the Methodist church thing I grew up with till I was 12. I was 30 years old. 31, I guess, when I was 30 when I was saved. So, anyway, long story, I saw the glory of God in this Messianic church, and I saw worship, and I knew whatever it was that they had I wanted, and I thought I was already saved, but until I came to the place of surrender, and in the place of surrender, God really met me, and he was serious. He meant everything. Surrender. Everything. Everything. And it was quite a battle, but, you know, he pulled me through. So I waited 3 more years and met my husband. It was a whirlwind. I was in Bible school, thought I was headed for the mission field, had all my shots to go to India. I thought that was it, and I was going to come back and go to school full time. And God sideswiped me. I married a man I led to the Lord. That does not happen. I was going to marry a pastor. So he got a pastor's heart, and he was in counseling with my pastors, and they said, we can't see anything wrong. Just go for it. He was on fire for God for many, many years, sent me to Toronto so many times that I became a Torontosaurus. God made a place for me there, and I had no place. In my city, nobody wanted those wild things that God would do when he would show up. They were scared of God. But he opened up a door for me in Toronto, and I somehow locked in with a ministry team up there and was serving on the visiting ministry team for every conference for about 3 years. and my husband would bless me, send me out the door and say, go bring it back. And more I saw people established in the presence of God and just lovesick for God in worship, lost in worship, and wanted the whole nine yards. And through a lot of turmoil, we saw a lot of church split. You know, everybody knows that story. Church splits and people like running down the hallway going, I know it can't be God. It's got to be witchcraft, whatever it is she has. I don't think we want that. But God tamed me down a little bit. And now the very people who caused a church split and wanted us to leave our very church are now flowing in the river. One of their daughter is leading worship at a Vineyard church, and it's so funny. I mean, it's just so funny how it's done a roundabout. In the same light, we've seen, this is still part of my testimony, we've seen a move of God in Columbia, South Carolina with Mountain of Worship, Danny Stain's ministry. We, all of the ones that used to come to Toronto came to us. We had Randy Clark, we had Heidi and Roland Baker, we had George and Bonoff, we had, well, even Bob Jones would come to our meetings and he said, I don't know, there's too much warfare here. I can't come back here. I can't sleep in this place. He said, I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, it was a real battle. We had about 5 or 6 years of intense worship and conference that we were doing up in Columbia. And in fact, that same ministry moved to New England, and they're doing a little meeting tonight over at Gracewood Methodist, where we used to meet for watering services, water hole services. Anyway, so long story short, I am a worshiper. I am a member of the worship team. I'm the bass chick. I do backup vocals and prophetic song. And it's the expression of my heart to God. It's the expression of his love. And you know, everybody knows you cannot love God without the love of God. It's the love of God that causes us to love him. He loved us first. So, all of that, that's who I am. And this is what I do. I worship. And even in the midst of worship, I have found that worship has been the very key that has brought me through some of the most difficult situations in my life, and they've been there. some things that you never, ever think you're going to have to face, and you just have to surrender everything and say, God, I don't care whatever happens. I'll still worship you, and it's the point of surrender. So, with that, my favorite scripture, well, one of them, they're all favorite, is 2 Peter chapter 1. You can just mark down the whole passage. You sort of can't stop once you get started. And my Bible print is really little. But anyway, and I speak this as a blessing. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of the Lord God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, by his own glory and excellence. So, Father, I'm asking, God, that you would anoint these words, that these words would be as close to your heart as possible, and, God, you would strike the hearts of this people, God, and stir us to understand your great love and what the sound of your love is like in our lives. Father, just give me wisdom. I have so many scriptures and testimonies, but God, just narrow them down, please. Never at a loss for words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. By his own glory and excellence, he has brought us to a life of godliness. For these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness, love. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purifications from his former sins. Therefore, brethren and sisters, be all the more diligent and certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you now, not when we die, now. Perseverance. The only way we can persevere with God is to cling to him. And the only way we will get through circumstance is to cling to him. And he will transform us. It's his love. His love will transform us. What is the sound of God's love? It is when a devastating circumstance would knock us off our feet. It is the sound of surrender to him. It's the sound of God, not my will. I will not do what I want to do. I choose to do what you call me to do, and suck it up. I'll tell you what. It's difficult. I just had a situation in the last few months that really knocked me off my feet. I am an artist. I used to work for Franklin Mint. I was a designer and sculptor for them. I made money, and I made money. Married my husband, and my will dried up. But I did do some painting and sculpture beyond that, and I still do. And for my kids' church, we have this huge room, 25 feet long, probably 20 feet wide. And somebody approached me about 3 years ago and said, "Will you paint scenery on the walls?" And I was like, "That's a big room." And they wanted a cityscape taking the Word of God into the city. And they had these cartoon figures that they would put up on the wall after I finished painting. So I painted a cityscape. It was yellow walls. I painted bricks yellow. It was yellow, and I painted bricks on it, and doorways and windows, and a bell tower that was 12 feet tall with a roof and a bell. And, well, it was painted. And the other side was a clock that was a real clock. It really worked. And at the end of the room, there was a cityscape park with pillars and wrought iron that I used electrical tape to make wrought iron fencing. And it was so much fun. And everybody loved it. Well, about a month ago, somebody approached me and said, "We want to change the kids' church room. How do you feel about that?" And I said, "Well, to tell you the truth, it hurts my feelings. I spent more than 200 hours painting that. More than that, every free moment of my time. And I did it at a time when I was going through a very difficult situation, and I thought, I poured myself into this. This was intercession for me. It was loving God. It was doing something that I was created to do." So I said, "Well, yeah, it does." She said, "Well, can you come back? There's some things we want to save, and we just want to talk to you." So we talked about, well, let's save this, we'll save that, we'll save that, we'll save this, and fine, and we'll have a meeting Tuesday night, and I'll present some drawings, and we'll redo this thing. We had the youth group wanted to redo the walls and put prophetic imagery. We're now doing Bethel Church kids program from Redding, California. So they wanted to do these prophetic images, and I'm like, "Great, okay, I'll suck it up, I can do this." So I arrived for the meeting, and on the Tuesday night, and I walked into the room, and nearly everything, 90% of the images had been kills was already on the walls. I can't tell you what I felt, except it was like having a C-section without anesthesia. I totally lost it. I said words. I was so glad that nobody was in the room and there were children outside that didn't hear it. And I have not been that angry. I don't think my husband in 30 years of marriage have ever, I'm 62. I don't think my husband and I have ever, I don't think he's only one time ever made me that angry. And the woman who did it walked in. I said, what? We talked about this. What is this? And I launched in. I'm like, in church, I launched into her. She launched into me. We're both totally at war. And I'm standing there, just tears falling down my face. She said, well, we talked about it. I said, I didn't know it was going to happen this fast. I didn't know. And you took out this, and you took out that. And we talked about this. And you took all my wrought iron fencing off. And I threw a fit. Well, it took me a few days. Well, anyway, actually, by the end of the evening, we had talked it out, and we chose love. We chose love. We were hugging each other. She was crying. I was crying. The youth leader was like bug-eyed and ran out of the room. And she was like, oh, well. Anyway, so we worked it out. And it was actually this woman's daughter who had the idea to redo the walls. And I helped redesign. I took all of her ideas, all of her designs, and what I would do was visualize for people in my old life. So I redesigned all the walls, took all of her imagery, made it all flow together. And the whole theme is the kingdom of earth going into the kingdom of God. It's like entering the kingdom of God and taking it back with you, taking the glory with you. And anyway, it's beautiful. It's almost done. And the young girl and I have been painting side by side. That's the sound of that's a testimony. And her mother has been doing all the grunt work, doing all the painting. And, you know, that's really, she was only doing the job she thought she had to do. She thought she had to get kills on that wall, and she did it. She's a bulldozer in the spirit. So we've been friends. We've only had little tweaky things that have happened, but God's kind of swept it away. But it's a beautiful room now. So that's a testimony of choosing love. I tell you, for about 3 days, I just thought, I don't need to be here. I can be somewhere else. You know, there's another ministry that I could really go to. And I was like, no, God, you called me here. I surrendered it. God, you called me here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And how can we say we love him and don't have love for the brethren? That is the sound of God's love. Perseverance, even in the midst of trial. Proven character, I hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. It takes God's love being poured out in our heart to change in a circumstance. The only way I know to find the love of God is in worship. Surrender to him, worship, some of the hardest experiences. I won't go into details. I mean, my friend Debbie knows the whole story. But a number of years ago, I discovered a circumstance in my life that I never expected to have to face. And I really thought that my marriage was over. I really thought it was over. I spent the night in prayer. I spent the night saying, God, no matter what happens, I will walk with you. I know that you'll bring me through this. I know that, you know, I have not been self-supporting financially for a long time. I thought, you'll supply everything I need. And I know that you will never fail me. You will never, ever let me down. Even if my feet are knocked out from under me, God, I trust you in this circumstance. Nevertheless, if we can get through some counseling and my husband chooses to stay, then so be it. I will stay in this relationship. I choose to stay even though I have every right to leave. I had every right scripturally to leave that relationship. And I chose not to, if my husband was willing to work it out. He was very much willing. And he had drifted away from church. He has not opened his Bible for at least 10 years, at least. He was a man who would read the Bible in a year, every year, and was in ministry sending people to the mission field, putting money into schools being built on foreign soil. Every conference there was, he would take a group of guys up to Toronto, he'd go to Pensacola, he'd go to Randy Clark's meetings, he would bring back the fire, he would send out Graham Cook tapes all over the world, and he got wounded in church and fell away. I can't tell you the number of times I was mocked walking out the door to go to worship, and trying to keep that balance between family and home life was very, very difficult. I had to figure when I could go and when I could not go, when it was not good for me to go minister. I mean, I could be in church 7 nights a week. I could worship God 24/7 in my own house. I could. But I also have to realize it's the love of God that we have to carry into our own homes and into our own churches. It's not just loving God. It's not just going to the mission field and loving people we don't know. It's the people that are closest to us that sometimes it's the most difficult to express God's love. Yeah. So anyway, I went through... You know, when I was serving with Mountain of Worship, I had opportunity to travel all over. I got to go to Australia. I could have gone to Africa. I did not go to Africa. I mean, East Coast, West Coast, I've gone. And, you know, just seeing God move miraculously. And, you know, again, even in Toronto, I mean, I probably served on a dozen week-long conferences. And, I mean, I was ingrained in the middle of all that. I mean, you'd be in the anointing, walk past a group of people, and they'd fall down. You go, God, Benny Hinn does that. He does that with you. And it was just, I was in my element. And even there, I just said one day, God, why are you doing this for me? You're opening doors. Like, I hear the big guys talk about this. What is this? And I'm leaning against a pillar, and I'm going, God, this is incredible. And he says, just... because you're willing. That's it. If we're willing, he will pour himself through us. If we're surrendered and willing. So, you know, with that in my heart and in my being, and having my husband just, I mean, literally mock me walking out the door with my bass strapped over my shoulder when he was already prepared, knowing that I was leaving. And God, I'm like, what do I do? And God just said, just love him. Just love him. Don't preach to him. Don't invite him. Because I invited him a couple of times when we were going through our Christian counseling. He even went to a Christian counselor. It was awesome. And he liked the guy. And we made it. That was like 8 years ago. We're more in love now. More in love now. That's... the only way we can get through it, through and persevere is just surrender. Surrender to God, and God, I just believe you. Even though it doesn't look like it, I still believe you. And my husband even blesses me every morning in prayer. He still does not go to church. He still does not listen to worship, but he honors what God does through me. I mean, it's a miracle. It is a miracle. He does not mock me. I do not get any flack. He just says, go have fun. I mean, who would think? But there is a call on his life, and he does have a pastor's heart. God told me I would marry a pastor, and I did. Only he's not in a church.
Yes.
He pastors people. He does pastor people.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good man. Really good. Anyway, so what does God's love look like? It looks like, God, I'm angry, but I choose to give you my anger. God, I'm frustrated with this. I can't fix it, but I'm willing to love you through it and let you love me through it. I can't do it myself. I have to give it to you, God. I don't feel like it. They hurt me. consider it all joy, my brethren and sisters. I don't want to give that away. I don't feel like it. It's too hard. It hurts. I'll never forgive them. I don't have what it takes, God. God, I can't do this. Poor me. God, look what I have to suffer with. Look at them. They don't have to suffer with it. You must love them more. Self-centeredness. God, through the midst of it all, worship. Just worship God. Surrender. If you can't sing, it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of worship. It's not really necessarily about song. It's just, God, I know you are who you said you are, and I know that you'll do what you promised, God. You will do what you promised in my life. And even if I think you need to do it my way, God, you do it your way, God. And sometimes it doesn't look like what we think. Sometimes it is excruciatingly painful, like a C-section without anesthesia. But what God does with it, and if we plant it as a seed and say, God, I surrender this to you. If there's something in me that has to die in this, God, I'm going to plant it in the ground. And he will always do something good with it if we will plant it. If we will plant it. God, I mean, sometimes our faith is tested. It's not necessarily by God, but it's by the circumstances of our life. And what are we going to do with it? He's always available. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He'll change the circumstances, but it'll change our hearts. So, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. No, hope that it kills you. Your selfish self and selfish self-centered ambitions and victim mentality will kill you. So put on the strength of the Lord. Put on a worship CD. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Get into the Word. How does God love us? Read Song of Solomon, but read it from the point of view of, I don't have it with me, but the Passion Translation opens like this. We read it, I guess, in my New American Standard is, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. But in the Passion Translation, I don't know if you're familiar with Passion Translation. This man, Brian Simmons, was a missionary in Panama for 8 years, living in the dirt with the Amazon-type Indian, not Amazon, but they were serious dirt-living Indians for 8 years, translating the scriptures for them. And God said, I want you to translate the Bible. Translate the Bible into a translation that shows the heart of God, which a lot of translators leave out. But anyway, in his translation of the Song of Solomon, it says, let him smother me with kisses, the spirit kisses of his heart. It is. I would recommend looking it up online. Just look up Passion Translation. He has a lot of different versions. One of my favorites, this is an advertisement for him. He was here, actually, in our region not long ago. I heard about him through our friend Catherine Runala from Australia. She recommends him. He's part of Cheon's ministry in California. But the translations are phenomenal. I read Song of Songs in his translation. It totally transformed my heart. I will tell you, it is the love relationship of Jesus Christ with the bride and with our hearts. And I am not kidding. I was a puddle when I finished reading that translation. If you want to know the love of God, a picture of it, anyway. I can't do this without going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I just remembered that today, the love chapter. So what if we have the gift of prophecy and we know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if we have all faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, what is that? Well, I read through this once a long time ago when I was first saved and I had to learn a lesson. Someone who I trusted in the Lord just did some things that just cut my heart, and I was on a retreat, and that weekend God just put me right in this chapter, and I made a big discovery. It says more about what love is not than what love is. The two things I got out of this is love is patient, love is kind, period. That's it. And it endures long, it suffers long, it rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's about it. And the rest of it's pretty ugly. It's not arrogant, does not brag, is not jealous, does not act unbecomingly. I can't. Oops. That's not me. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice with unrighteousness. I can say I don't measure up. I don't measure up. But it's the love of God in our heart, poured out in our heart, that changes us. So God. So God, you are so good. God, even when we have every right, God, every right to seek our own justice, God, even scripturally when we line up to seek our own right standing, God, justice, we want justice, God. God, we surrender to your justice because vengeance truly is yours, God, in all circumstances. And God, your desire is for us to love you and for you to love us more than anything, God, more than anything. It's your love that abounds, God. So God, we're asking that you show us what the sound of love is for each one of us. Sometimes it is purely silence. It is keeping quiet when we feel that we need to say what's on our hearts, God. Sometimes it's just sucking it up, God, and just saying, God, nevertheless, you work out the circumstance. Father, even when those who abuse us, God, we have to choose to forgive. God, forgiveness is the hardest thing, God, when we have a right to be angry, God. We choose to forgive. We choose to place it in your camp, God, and have you handle it, God. God, we cannot love you unless you love us. We cannot love others unless we receive your love, God, and we block your love every time we choose justice on our own, God. God, we deserve to be totally separated from you, but God, you have chosen us, God, and we surrender to you. Do you know, that's about it. Do you know how many notes I have here? And that's about it. Do you know how many scriptures I have here? And that's about it.